I was saying earlier this morning, you know, everybody's heard of the Henley Regatta, which is beautiful and very formal, but lots of the little villages have their own regatta. And it came as such a surprise when Paul and I first moved into Wargrave that we have our own regatta, which almost goes past the end of my garden. And someone that knows all about it that's come in to tell us is Peter Simons. Morning, Peter.
Morning, Debbie. How are we doing?
We're doing pretty good, well, actually.
Afternoon.
Yeah, of course. I'm always saying morning. To me, the morning continues on a Sunday till I have lunch at 3 o'clock. Now, we live in the same road. I can say that. You won't mind me saying that. And you've been involved with the regatta since virtually you were born.
Yeah, the regatta is something I think several families in the village were born into, literally. My father took over as treasurer of the regatta in 1946, directly after the war. He was treasurer through till 1982. His very old friend, Hugh van Swanenburg, he started actually as secretary of the regatta in 1936. So they were great friends, and as I say, they really ran it till this generation took over in the early 80s.
And so now it's you and Hugh's son as well.
Myself and Hugh's son, Guy, who is now our chairman. He also does the treasury thing. The strange thing is that, as I said, my father was a treasurer, his father was a secretary. I know nothing about money at all, and he couldn't organise a bus queue in that. So we swap roles between us. I'm now the secretary. He's now the treasurer. He loves counting money and he's very good at it. And there's a number of other local families who do it as well. Families who've been around for many, many years. And it's sort of paternity, its worst example, I think.
And it's Wargrave and Shiplake, which Wargrave is one side of the river and Shiplake's the other. And what's involved in organising it? You know, because it's a regatta, it's boat. Based on boat races, isn't it?
Absolutely. No, it's a traditional boat regatta. We're one of the very few regattas on the Thames now that still sort of encourages traditional boating skills. So that's skiffing, punting, Canadian canoeing, and dongling, which is a law unto itself.
Which is where you kneel on one knee.
You kneel on one knee, six people kneeling on a knee and paddling a Thames punt. And in terms of organisation, it's really something that rolls on throughout the year. We own something in the region of about 40 traditional boats ourselves now, because of course you can't just go and hire things like that as you used to be able to in the old days. Given that we have to store them, maintain them, look after them, take them out the river after the regatta, put them back in again, and so on and so forth. So it is very detailed, and I think probably the most important thing is passing those skills on to each subsequent generation. The regatta became a charity last year, and the basis on which we became a charity is really encouraging and maintaining and fostering those skills long term. So as you'll probably be aware, you've seen people out training over the last couple of weeks. We hold 3 to 4 weeks of training before the event, so again we can impart those skills to the next generation continuously and ongoing.
And being a traditional regatta, it's not like the Henley regatta where people attending have to dress up and put their finery on and everything else and posh picnics. It's much more family orientated, isn't it?
Yes, I'm tending to go back to what Roy Hudd said just now about being a boring old fart or something like that. No, we are, it's like a village picnic for two villages with a bit of boat racing going on. My late wife used to describe it as 2 days fun in a field, and that's really what it is. You know, it's t-shirt, shorts, and so on. It's open to anybody. There's an event that people can come and enter actually on the Saturday of the regatta as well. So, yeah, very relaxed and informal.
Well, we're going to talk a bit more, Peter, but we're going to have a song. It's just left 22. It's Debbie McGee on BBC Radio Berkshire. Just give me a reason. Pink, BBC Radio Berkshire, it's 2:45. I'm chatting away about the Wargrave and Shiplake Regatta, which has been going. Peter, when did it actually start?
Year one was 1867, Debbie.
1867. Before you and I were born.
Not before me, before you were sure. We actually have documentary proof that it did start before then. But having said that, it's jolly difficult to prove.
Mm. So then it was probably, yeah, they didn't start keeping records and things.
No, absolutely not.
And, you know, I know, because I know about it, that what I think is fantastic, as we were saying, it's a family day. It's not very formal. Everyone brings their own picnic and everything. And
although we have excellent catering facilities, I have to say, then, which we'll be extending this year.
You've got... So what are you doing this year, then, that's different?
Well, we're going to have a bit of a food court this year, as well as the traditional fair, really to sort of enhance the offering as far as people who come along and want a bit more of a day rather than just come and watch the racing.
Yeah, and also sometimes I do this. I take a picnic, but actually I haven't quite taken enough, or I smell something that smells better than what I've taken. So
yeah,
I can be tempted. But I love the fact that, you know, as you were saying, the Wargrave and Shiplake Regatta own this whole mass of different types of boats. So anyone from the area, isn't it, from Shiplake or Wargrave, if they want to enter a race in the regatta, you can go and practice on the boats. You
know, that's right. We run practice, but as I say, it's ongoing right now in the afternoons and evenings. If you go onto our website, wsregatta.co.uk, you can book a practice. You can, or certainly find a number to call to book a practice. And we charge a very nominal fee to go out, and tuition is sometimes available as well. But really, these sort of skills are not widely available up and down the Thames anymore. And again, that's one of the reasons, as I said earlier, that's why we exist.
Yeah, and it's great. And then when it comes to the actual regatta, the fun the children are having not being on a computer is just wonderful.
I know, it's amazing to get them outside and in dinghies and God knows what else. Our sort of most junior races are under 12 events, or under 12 dinghy events, under 12 side-by-side dinghy events, where you get two very young children, usually being steered by an adult for sure. You know, in a race they can enter with mothers. There is the under 12 Dongola race as well, where they're steered by an adult. So plenty of opportunity for parents and kids to get involved together.
And especially now, they've just broken up from school, you know, and the weather's lovely, but taking them out every day can get very expensive. This is a great way to keep them occupied, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, my three children, Tom, Caris and Will, they started because they had no choice when they were very young, poor things. And there is no doubt that it's sort of getting the focus to their summer holidays, the regatta. The only problem is, of course, that, you know, holidays are not quite so easy to book these days. And whereas we, as a family, are forced to go away after the regatta, got no choice, a number of people inevitably do start going away and miss out on some of the practice fun. But that's life.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes, as you say, you haven't got a choice. We were saying, you know, it started that we know of in the 1800s. How has it changed since then?
Gosh, that's
or has
a huge...
it?
Well, yes and no.
Close.
I mean, that's kind of a question we could spend all day on. It's become less formal as the years go by. I'm not sure whether you're aware, but many, many years ago, there used to be the difference between sort of professionals and amateurs. Indeed, we used to hold two separate events on two different days, because the professionals were people who were employed as watermen on the River Thames. They used to have a sort of regatta for them. But there was also a regatta for the amateurs, which is, if you like, the gentry, the landed gentry. Now, all that went out the window, really, I suppose, about the 30s. That was a big social change, which has made a lot of difference. And I think social change is really reflected in the way that we approach the event. We're very relaxed, very professional, we like to think, but very relaxed about the way we do it.
It's, I know, saying relaxed, it's very, very organised, but it's relaxed in its enjoyment.
Indeed it does. We have to be professional about the way we do it, first and foremost for health and safety reasons, which dominate everything these days, as we all know, but secondly, very, very much because we have to get through one race every 3 minutes, 12 hours a day for 2 days, non-stop, no breaks. Now, to be able to do that is genuinely a bit of a feat of organisation.
And, of course, it's also famous for the fireworks on the Saturday night.
Indeed.
Which are always fabulous.
I think the greatest accolade we've ever had about our fireworks is I had a phone call once from the secretary of Henley Royal Regatta, who said, "Your fireworks are far better than ours. Why is that?"
I'm cheering here in my seat, yes.
It was some time ago, and I have to say the world has changed a bit since then, but yes, that was a big kick.
Yeah, so were you able to say why it was?
I think the reason that our fireworks are good is because the river forms a bit of a natural amphitheatre.
Mm.
You know, it sort of curves out of Shiplake Lock, curves around down by the George and Dragon, down towards Marsh Lock. And there's no doubt that from whatever side you see, or you're viewing the fireworks from, you can see them extremely well. And of course, watching from the Wargrave side, you get the reflection of the river and all that sort of thing. It's very special.
Yeah, it really is special, isn't it? We're going to play another song and we'll tell everyone how they can enter, if they want to join in now and go for some training, where they can get all the information and tickets. Of course, it's 10 to 2. Here's Billy Joel, BBC Radio Berkshire.
Have you heard?
The Andrew Peat Show.
On The Peat Show, a Commonwealth medal for Bracknell's Andrew Willis in the men's 200 metres breaststroke and...
Debbie McGee. We've been talking about the Wargrave and Shiplake Regatta, and if you are interested in getting involved, Peter, we were saying there's the website, which would you like to give that out again?
Yeah, that's wsregatta.co.uk.
And you can get tickets from there, or if you want to enter or organise training.
Yeah, entries formally have closed. They had, they closed about 10 days ago because they had to, so we can get the programme organised. There is an event called the Scratch Dongola, which actually we only take entries on the day. That's for a Dongola crew of six people. We spread it between the experienced and inexperienced and kids and so on. And we draw those crews scratch,
right.
Literally on the morning of the Saturday, the regatta, the 9th.
So you can get tickets and find out all about it for next year in case you want to get involved next year. And also, you're all volunteers that you put... I know you were chopping trees down and goodness knows what yesterday on the course, weren't you?
Indeed, yeah, no, well... You know, I mean, everything in this world depends on who wants to make it happen.
Yeah.
And we're very fortunate. We've got a sort of core of probably 20 or 30 people who, you know, help us to do everything that needs to be done. We have another sort of team of 40 or 50 people who come along just before the event and do all the hard work of, you know, putting up the rafts and installing the course and all that sort of thing. So we're very, very fortunate.
And clearing up afterwards.
Yeah, clearing up afterwards is the worst thing of all. But, you know, like any good party, once it's over, it's got to be gone. And we pride ourselves on having an empty field, literally within, well, sort of round about by 2 or 3 o'clock the day after the event.
Yeah, and I know, actually, you ought to have that filmed because my bedroom overlooks that field. So in the morning, you can still see all the white marquees and everything else.
Yeah.
And you're right, by 3 o'clock, it's back to green. Well, Peter, lovely to talk to you. I was going to get you to tell a quick story from the regatta, but I think we've probably run out of time. Yes, I'm being nodded. So we have. So you have to come in next year and tell me it.
Can I mention the regatta swim, which takes place at 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning?
You can indeed.
Entries are still open for that, by the way, on the website.
There we are. Loads of people practising for that. I've seen so many swimmers going by this year. So that was Peter Simons there, organiser of the Wargrave and Shiplake Regatta. Let's get some travel now.
BBC Radio 5.